It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 233. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I fulfill our promise to draft the best 10 players in BYU basketball history. Obviously, my team won't be better. But before that, we recount a crazy week in Big 12 expansion rumors and news, and some of the results of BYU's chances to win some national championships. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Check us out on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and you're going to listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, yo.
Good evening.
Good evening indeed, Matt. Good evening indeed. Matt, something remarkable happened this past weekend.
What was that?
You went to a movie the opening weekend of a movie.
Yes, it did.
That is, seeing that this is not a Matrix or Jason Bourne movie, that's kind of an amazing fact.
I was pretty excited to be able to do it.
I believe the last time you went to a movie, when was the last time you went opening weekend to a movie?
I don't know.
1998?
Possible. No.
Since then.
Let's think. Well, I don't know. When was the first Bourne movie? That would have been in 2002.
Yeah.
So I think we went opening weekend to that.
We did twice.
And Spider-Man. The first Spider-Man we went to, that was that same year. We went opening weekend.
That's right. We did go opening weekend to that one. Do you notice a pattern here? All of these involve me?
Yep.
Actually, there has been one since then. We were on a boys' weekend. And we went to the G.I. Joe movie, the first one, opening weekend in Vegas. You remember that?
Oh, that's right.
It was bad. That was not a good movie.
That was not the best part of that weekend.
No, it was not.
As a matter of fact, that was a very forgettable part comparatively of that weekend.
Yeah, seeing like you just remembered that, right?
I totally forgot we even went to a movie that weekend.
If you told people about that weekend, that would not be...
That doesn't make the highlight
that
real.
That would not make the highlight. But Matt, you saw Captain America Civil War.
Yes.
And no spoilers. We will do no spoilers on this episode of the podcast. It's only, of course, been out in the United States for a matter of days. Thumbs up, thumbs down, way thumbs up. Oh, now, what am I doing? We don't do that on this podcast.
What is this? Is this your first time on the Rise and Shout podcast, Adam?
It might be.
You've never been on the podcast before? You don't know how things work here?
I'm a first time.
New to this neighborhood?
First time host. So Matt.
First time host, long time listener.
That's right. Zero to Detmer. How good was this film?
Detmer.
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it.
I loved it too. It was quite. And in coming weeks, we will say spoilers coming and we'll actually just talk about the movie. But we won't do that this week. We'll give people at least one more week. But that's about all we'll give you, really. If you don't see one of these awesome movies in the first couple of weekends, what I say to people is you just can't be mad when you find out something about the movie.
So what is the right moratorium on that? Is it 2 weeks?
I think you'd need to give people 2 weekends. Because you could add, you know, we joked about this last week, right? You could have a wedding. You could have,
traveling with the kids.
Travel.
Birthday parties.
Traveling. Where do you think I go to a lot of these movies? I do it on business trips. What are you talking about? Like your coworkers want to go out to dinner or whatever afterwards? You're like, yeah, I've hung out with you all day. I'm going to go see a movie.
Had enough of you jokers.
I've had enough of you jokers. And anyway, so Matt, I also would give it, I don't know if I'll give it a Detmer, but I'll give it like a Steve Young or Robbie Bosco.
Oh, so you hate Marvel.
Oh my gosh.
Why do you hate Marvel?
I'm going to punch you in the face. If you were not like a full country away, I'd punch you in the face. It was good. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And we watched, I know you watched a bunch of the movies recently. My daughter and I watched the two Captain America movies and Age of Ultron to prep for the film.
When we were buying the popcorn, my son told the guy behind the counter all the movies we watched in prep. And for some reason, this guy thought we had watched them all like consecutively. So we would have, based on the list that my son provided, I think we would have had to been awake for like 3 straight days. Like, I don't know what this guy was thinking.
There are people who I read articles where people did that. They went into the theater having watched all of them straight. I think that's unhealthy.
I don't know. I mean, you could do it. You'd start really early in the morning or something. Yeah, I mean, you could do it. Go to a late showing. I mean,
there's like 13 movies.
I'm not saying I did it.
I'm just saying, like, you'd have to be watching movies for like 30 something hours straight.
Yep.
I mean, I love movies.
You should probably get a job.
Of course, this is the guy who I did happen to, when I went the first night to Return of the King, the third Lord of the Rings, I may or may not have watched the first two extended editions that day and then gone to the movie.
Hmm.
So
pretty much the weird thing you were just describing.
Well,
because those movies are each like 16 hours.
Yeah, well, that's true. Especially the extended versions are quite long. But it was pretty cool experience, you know? It was a pretty cool experience. And I did. Did you ever do one of those movie marathons, midnight at the what's the Dollar Theater?
The Dollar Theater?
What is it called?
Movies 8.
Movies 8. Did you ever do one of those?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Who didn't spend some time at the Movies 8?
No, but I mean, did you go to a midnight, like, show...
The midnight showings?
No, yes. But they show, like, three movies in a row. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, Indiana Jones. I went to that one. I did Star Wars. What else did they do? They did, like Rocky 2, 3, and 4. Like, let's not show the Academy Award-winning Rocky. We're going to show you the other ones. Which I went to, and it was fantastic.
The problem is they had to get to 4. And you couldn't show all 4.
No. You had to get to 4.
But, you know, you just go ahead and skip 3. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T.
If I could change, and you could change, we all could change. I mean, Rocky ended the Cold War, man. He brought together two warring nations. It was quite remarkable.
Yeah, it was really remarkable, actually. It's really remarkable that you think that that's actually what happened.
No, well, you know, and Dolph Lundgren, unfortunately, the country we got back together with was Switzerland. Isn't he Swiss, Dolph Lundgren?
I don't know what
Finnish?
He is. I just know he's giant,
he's not,
gigantic.
And he's
but
not
then again,
Russian.
Standing next to Sylvester Stallone, I mean, anybody looks tall, right?
Sandra Bullock, for example.
Mm.
When they had to put him up on a lift just so that they could kiss. Dolph Lundgren is from Sweden. I'm sorry.
Swedish.
I'm sorry, all of Sweden that I called to Switzerland or Finland. And Dolph Lundgren has been in... 79 films.
Wow.
That is amazing.
And what's the best line he's had in all 79 of those films?
I will break you.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, he is quite awesome. How is his Russian accent?
It's actually his speech is pretty limited. I mean, he really only has the one time where he speaks Russian where he's yelling at the coach. You know, when he picks the coach up.
Yeah, how does
he
do?
Throw him, and his wife's like, "Put him down," you know, and it's okay. I mean, but it's pretty simple stuff that he's saying. If there's one phrase where he says he's fighting for me. He's got those two words down really good. Yeah. He did those all right.
All right, cool.
But the rest of it, I don't really remember, to be honest with you. But the interpreter's pretty funny.
Yeah, you've told me that. We'll do that story.
It's just
they
just condensed it. They just condensed.
Yeah, they
just. Who wants to listen to that?
You know, we hate Russia. So why would we want to listen to it? It was the Cold War, for heaven's sakes. So, Matt, we'll talk more about Captain America Civil War in another time. I did see the Bourne trailer in front of it. I'd have to say that was almost as exciting as the movie.
There is not a quarterback whose name I can give you to measure my excitement for that Bourne movie.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. All right, Matt, I think we should step into the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
So, Matt, men's volleyball game lost the national title game to Ohio State. It was a good match, but a sweep. They just did not look like they have the rest of the year. I watched this match. They just weren't on their game, and it stinks that it happened the first time they've been off their game in 2 months. But, you know, Ohio State's a good team, and they had a bad night. Happens.
Yeah, you know, you have to get to a national championship game to lose a national championship game. So yes. I think we got to keep a little perspective here.
Yes.
This is still an incredibly talented team, an all-time great team at BYU.
And young.
Yeah, so the future is bright. I'm just glad that the guy that sits near me at work, who's a huge Ohio State fan, is on vacation.
Yeah. Like he even knew they had a volleyball team.
Oh, he'll know.
The Ohio State University.
If the Ohio State University has a podcast like the Rise and Shout podcast, he listens to it.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure it's also terrible.
So, well, it's not going to be as good as us.
But. No, that's just stupid. So BYU Rugby also lost, Matt. This one is tougher to take because I think they were ahead. Like, this was a loss, and it was also to Cal, which...
Mm.
Cal's worse to me than Ohio State. Is that true? I don't hate Cal.
Well, okay, so let me ask
not
you
like
this.
Not like I feel about Stanford.
This is where I was going. So okay. You tend to have an issue with California schools?
That is not true.
Oh, really?
I don't have an issue with USC.
Well, let's have some fun here for a minute.
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
San Diego State.
I hate San Diego State.
Okay. Stanford?
I hate Stanford.
All right. How do you feel about UCLA?
I'm not a big fan of UCLA.
Oh, okay, interesting. You said you're okay with USC.
I'm okay with USC. Yes, I'm okay with USC.
Okay, Pepperdine.
I don't really like Pepperdine.
Okay, interesting. UC San Luis Obispo.
I have no problem with.
There we go. We found San one. Luis we Obispo. Found one. You didn't hesitate on. I feel pretty good.
Not at all.
All right. What about UC Bakersfield?
I didn't even know that existed.
There you go. So is that... Well, you still haven't answered the question. You have a problem with them.
I do not have a problem with them.
Okay.
I did not have
let's just be real here a minute. Hashtag real talk. I listed just a handful of schools. San Diego State, Cal, Stanford, okay, UCLA.
I don't have a big problem with Cal. I want to reiterate that.
You only not have a big problem with Cal because of their history with Stanford?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your hatred for Stanford still is kind of involved here.
Yes. As is why I like Oregon State, because they're so hard on Stanford when Stanford comes to play them in football.
Okay. All right.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, maybe you have a point there. But let's go back to what's important here. And it's not me. Well, sometimes it's me. But BYU lost that heartbreaker. I guess the women's rugby team also lost. To be honest, I didn't even know they were in the championship. So
until the day before, a couple days before, when people were tweeting about how the national championships we'd be competing for that weekend, I did not realize that women's rugby was a sport.
Yes, I didn't either. So,
but, is that bad? Is it bad to admit that?
No, you can't know everything. And in your case, I mean... Clearly, you can't know everything.
There's only so much room up there.
That's right. Baseball had a tough week, Matt. They dropped three to, was it Pepperdine? See, now it's my hatred of
it's just
of
bleeding California into everything. Schools. It's bleeding into
it's
everything
that
you do.
And to UVU. Matt, they're headed in the wrong direction right now. So they need to pick it up here in the last few weeks to make a run. To what looked like a team that would be in the College World Series is now a team that is going to have to kind of pick it up here in the last part of the year. Softball, opposite direction. They swept Santa Clara this past weekend, looking very strong, headed towards the WCC tournament and then potentially the NCAAs. Matt, it's time for Cougars in the Pros. With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Ooh, sit down, Goodell!
You like that tweet that we had around the draft about how basically somebody must have been listening because the Chicago fans – was it Chicago fans? No.
Yeah, the Chicago fans. Fans came out, and I think I took the picture.
Yeah.
He came out on day – it was when he came out on day two and he was wearing like his puffy jacket and his ball cap and his smug little smile on his face.
Can't stand that guy. Lexi Eaton-Rydolch was released by the Seattle Storm. Now I hate them.
Yep.
Well,
you know what? This gives you a reason to, you know, you can cheer against them in their season opener.
That hasn't happened already?
I
have no idea. If they're releasing people, it probably hasn't. I know so little about the WNBA that I don't know much. But Lexi should be on a team. That's my strong and uninformed opinion.
It's tough, though. I mean, they have rosters of 13.
And she was drafted in the third round, which kind of goes to show you that she probably was. She certainly was not a given to make a squad, right? Yeah. You know, she wasn't a first round draft.
Somebody with her pedigree, you think, ought to get make a team?
I would think so. I mean, as good of a scorer as she is, I'm, you know, this isn't like where, you know, but again, I don't follow the sport, so it's not like with Tyler Hawes where I'm like, I understand why he didn't get into the pros, right? I'll understand if Kyle Collinsworth doesn't end up making a roster. I'll get that. I don't know enough about pro women's basketball to understand, like, the depth of that league and or any of that stuff. I just don't even know. Matt, conference expansion has been the talk of the town basically since the moment we set the mic down 8 days ago when we recorded last Monday night. Has been a nonstop churn of Big 12 expansion talk.
I'm doing great.
What's that?
It's not. It's just nothing's gonna happen.
I think a lot of BYU fans feel the same way you do. So let's recap in case some of you live under a rock. The Big 12 is, they believe there will be a decision, a lot of sources believe that we'll have a decision in the next 90 to 120 days, which, by the way, is a pretty big window.
And yeah, it's a giant window, and it's far away.
Yes, and it's far away. Okay, so that's fact number one. Fact number two is not a secret. We're going to talk about how there was a Oklahoman, that is the newspaper, article by Barry Trammell about why Boren favors expansion. And interestingly enough, there's a picture of BYU at the top of the article. Okay, this was published, I believe, yesterday, right? We're on the 10th. And so he basically goes through what the reasons that he does. It comes down to title game, conference network, and money, mainly, is what it comes down to. I'm not going to read the whole article for everybody. Now, the thing is, and it's the same thing I keep hearing over and over, nobody is really excited about the candidates, right? Nobody's, like, jumping off the chair. You know, BYU is clearly the one that will deliver, like, viewership and potential money and all that stuff. But none of the other guys, Boise State, Central Florida, Cincinnati, UConn, Houston, Memphis, South Florida, they are all, you know, I'm not saying they're bad candidates, but when you read these articles, nobody else is like, wow, you know, we got to have Colorado State in our conference. You know what I mean?
If the candidate pool had a couple of candidates like that in it, this would be done.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yes, this would have happened.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah. So Boren wants to, but we already knew that, so that's not news. Brad Rock had his take. He's interviewed a couple of former University of Utah players that say we should be in a conference, power conference. Okay. Thank you, former villains. We appreciate you. Then here's the one that I think is the best, and I saw this first. Greg Rebell has tweeted it out since then. I saw it first on VanquishTheFoe.com, so I'll give them credit. And Barry Switzer says on Sirius XM College Sports that BYU would make the most sense to join the Big 12. Barry Switzer gets it. What's up with that? It's interesting because Switzer there is some history. You know, people have always said that he doesn't like BYU.
He may not, but no. that doesn't mean you can't make a logical decision, right?
Yes. And he's accused of us cheating and whatever stuff.
Us as much as you hate all California schools, but
not all California schools, just most of them.
Oh, okay.
So Barry Switzer gets it, as you say. So Vanquish the Foe had another story, Matt, that I'm gonna trash a little bit. Matt Brown was the the author, and he is, of course, a friend of the podcast. He's been on before and is an SB Nation writer more than a Vanquish the Foe writer. But he goes on to say that Jake Trotter of ESPN published a report last week. I believe it was last week. Or maybe it was this morning. There's so many of these reports, I'm having trouble keeping the date straight. That Memphis, Houston, Colorado State, and UCF made specific pitches. Now, the reason they know this is because of freedom of information requests, okay? So These public schools have to, basically, if you submit a request, they are compelled by law to give the press these reports, okay? So He's got, in that report out of ESPN, West Virginia, of course, Gordon G., who's, where was he before? Was he at Sisters of the Something University? Where was he president before?
Some school that nobody cares about.
Yeah, some school that nobody cares about. Little Sisters of the Poor, what did he say? Well, yeah. I can't even remember the phrase right now.
Little Sisters of the Poor, that's exactly what he said.
Is that what he said? Okay. University of Memphis, there's documentation that Memphis was there. Colorado State and UCF have sent materials to Dr. Gee, and that's where these things are coming from, okay, as a Big 12 member in West Virginia. They point out that there's no mention of BYU, okay? Here's the problem I have with all of these reports, and basically everyone's saying BYU's not even trying. A couple of things. There are a couple of private schools in the Big 12, Baylor, for example, TCU, which we have a relationship with. They could make all of that stuff go through them, and it would not be eligible to be found. And BYU's a private place, right? So I think BYU is doing their – I would be shocked if we find out that BYU never pitched the Big 12. The other part of that is, what does BYU have to pitch? What doesn't the Big 12 know about BYU that will or will not make it? Either they want another religious school or they don't. Either some of them want a Mormon school or they don't. Either some of them care about making money or they don't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, what's BYU supposed to do? Send, like, a dossier? Like, it's the same way I always felt like when Boris would have, like, Bryce Harper when he becomes a free agent. Like, you don't need to send a book to people to sign. BYU's case is really clear. Am I way off?
I think when you look at the four schools that are mentioned here, right, Memphis, Houston, Colorado State, UCF, these are schools that have all recently done major facility expansions on stadiums. Houston just built a brand new stadium, or those types of things, right, where they're trying to do something to move, to take a step change in what they're doing with their program. BYU doesn't really fit into that category. And the other stuff that, you know, maybe you bring somebody out, it might be worth it to bring somebody out and show them the broadcast building and the other things that you're doing and try and pitch some of the synergies you could get there.
Don't you think they did that when they were in Austin? Right? Like, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to have any communication. You're in Austin with the truck. Right? Like, Memphis and Colorado State and UCF, I get what they're doing. They don't have as good of a case as us,
no,
quite frankly. So they need and should be doing this stuff because either BYU's got – I hate to make this simple. Either the administrate if they decide to expand, which I think is likely, either BYU's in or we're not. I don't think sitting there having these deep discussions will convince people – that BYU, it's really now Memphis, Cincinnati, again, if they want BYU, Memphis, Cincinnati, Colorado State, UCF, and all the rest competing for that other spot, right?
Maybe.
I think that's what's happening.
I don't think Houston's really on the list. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I don't think Houston's on the list unless you do something absolutely crazy, Matt. And so let's talk crazy. A friend of the podcast, Bill Connolly on SB Nation, had this to say yesterday. He basically says, forget about expanding to 12. Add 14 teams. What? Listen to this list. The Big 12 would add, and I'm not joking, this is his crazy proposal, Air Force, Boise, us, Cincinnati, Connecticut, Houston, Memphis, Navy, North Dakota State, which I absolutely love that one, by the way.
That's insane.
Northern Illinois, Rice, Tulane, UCF, and USF. Okay? Basically, it would become the first national conference. All right?
And is North Dakota State really just in there because he felt like he wanted to fill in that part of the map?
No, I think that's because of just how good they are at football. They could move up now and beat half the teams on that list. They beat UConn.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, right? They'd probably beat Rice, Tulane.
Northern Illinois, Rice.
UConn, Northern
Tulane,
Illinois.
Memphis. Heck, and a couple teams that are already in the Big 12. So basically, he goes on to talk about, and they're crazy ideas that will never happen. But I like these kind of things because they're fun. He basically says you could do a relegation like they do in professional soccer. And basically, he said you'd have a North and a South division at the top level, and then a North and South division, and basically you'd get to play your way into the top.
I find that interesting. The whole relegation concept. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's an interesting take if you're interested. Again, I don't think Bill is actually being serious. I think it's mainly kind of tongue in cheek. On a more serious side, Kansas City Star reporter this week, Peter, let's see if I Grathoff, he basically says, and also Blair Kirkhoff, who also writes for the Kansas City Star, they talked about this. They've been talking about it almost nonstop there. They had a poll, and BYU won that poll. Now, my guess is it's mainly BYU fans seeing this link and going. But interestingly enough, 1,800 votes for
BYU. We're really good at that, by the way.
Yes, and only 300 people saying, no, you shouldn't at BYU. Everybody else, Matt, it was about 50-50 people saying yes or no of the top three, top other two candidates that were on the list, which was Cincinnati and Boise. And then, I'll tell you what, the Big 12, your thing about Houston, they had 283 votes of yes and 989 no votes. Memphis, 356 positive, 1,200 votes negative.
Wow.
And Connecticut, UCF, USF had fairly similar results. You know, when I talk to my friends that are Big 12 fans or basically college football fans, they all think it's silly BYU's not in a power conference. Take all the emotion out of it. Take all of the money out of it for a second. Take all of that stuff out of it. Certainly take the religion stuff out of it. And, you know, let's say this was a little bit packed by BYU fans. But there weren't a lot of negative votes either, right? Which means the Big 12 fans reading this are going, yeah, that worked. Mizzou fans are, you know, who may be in the area, but, you know, they're now in the SEC. They're not sitting there going, that's stupid, you know.
Except for maybe that one Mizzou guy that sat two rows in front of us.
Yeah,
at
he
the
did
Mizzou
not
game.
Like us.
No, he probably voted negative. I'm going to go out on a limb here and think if he had the option, he voted negative.
I don't know if the inside of his jail cell, if they had internet or not, though. I'm just saying the guy had some issues. So, Matt, we have a tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
And this is from @LarsonCameron, Cameron Larson on Twitter. Now, he did what I call the tweet bag cheat, which we honor, of course. He took a picture of a note on his iPhone.
Yeah, see.
So he could do longer form.
But you know what? I like that better than the tweet one of two, tweet one of three.
Oh, I'm okay with tweet one of two. Once you go past that, it's like, am I really supposed to follow up on like five tweets? I don't think so.
But sometimes you get people who will tell really interesting stories in a series of like 30 tweets. And that drives me nuts because they get like,
yeah,
you're scrolling through the
venue.
Feed. No, just because you're scrolling through the feed and you can't find it. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to go to your... I'll go to your Twitter page and read it right off of there. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's dumb. So this is what he says. I keep seeing BYU TV mentioned being as a big positive for when the Big 12 seriously considers adding institutions, especially in considering forming a Big 12 network, which we've heard a lot of buzz about that recently. How does BYU TV help the Big 12 form a network? Wouldn't the Big 12 try to partner with Fox or ESPN to form a network, a la SEC or Big 10? Yes, Cameron, I would say they'll likely do that. Is the Big 12 wanting to go the Pac-12 route and not partner with anyone? I think we could say that's an absolute no. That's been kind of a disaster.
It's a bad option. It didn't work for the Mountain West. It's not working for the Pac-12.
No. You don't want to get into the TV business. That's not your business.
No.
Isn't Boren trying to get the Big 12 ESPN in Texas rolled into the Longhorn network, into the Big 12 network? Matt, what's your take on Cameron's question?
I think you leverage it the way that ESPN works their relationship with BYU TV today. So whether you're going to ESPN or you're going to NBC Sports or you're going to whatever it is, I think you leverage the resources that BYU and Texas have in order to facilitate that partnership. I think there's a lot of different things you can do there. And then the flip side of that is you look at a lot of these other conference channels, say like the Big Ten Network. You know, they try and produce a lot of their own Big Ten-centric programming, and most of it's football types of things. But if you have the BYU TV, the Longhorn Network, you've got a vehicle that can start producing a lot of that stuff for you, and you don't have to worry about ESPN coming up with it. And that's something I think the Big Ten Network kind of struggles with, is putting together that type of independent content that's the right kind of quality. You know, some of it's good, but some of it's just filler.
Yeah, I don't know that BYU TV honestly is a help or a hindrance. I've heard some people say it's a hindrance, as if BYU wouldn't give up the rights to their football games, which of course is ridiculous. They would, if they got into the Big 12. I think that's kind of a given. I think where it might help is that there is a landing spot for other football games. Think of it this way, okay? Everyone's saying like Longhorn Network would go away. I envision something very different. You have a Big 12 network, okay? You know how the Big 10 now will push a lot of things to the internet where you can go stream it, right?
Yep.
Big 10 to go, I believe it's called. Is that what it's called, their app?
Oh, and I've used the Big 10 to go.
I have as well. Imagine if you could, instead of pushing those to online, or in addition to pushing them to online, you have the Longhorn Network and BYU TV that could basically be like Big 12 on Saturdays, Big 12 Network 2 and Big 12 Network 3.
You could put additional games on there. You could put a Big 12 wrap-up shows and all sorts of stuff.
Big 12 other sport tournaments that, you know, may conflict with, say, a basketball or a football game, now have another outlet on BYU TV, potentially, or the Longhorn Network. I think, honestly, BYU is the only candidate that has a potential to bring significant money. That's why BYU TV has proven that's why I think not the network itself, but this independent deal with ESPN has proven that BYU can make money. They don't have to just put their games on this BYU TV network, right?
Yeah, and I think people kind of get lost in the rights over the games issue, right? So originally, the whole issue with that, and when you go back to the days of the Mountain, the problem with that was BYU was trying to create a situation where its alumni base spread across the country had access to watch the games. And remember when Independence, we talked about access?
Yes.
Okay, that was not access to the bowl championship series, and people still talk about it that way. The access in those terms was about people having access to watch the BYU sports. So for them, the game rights weren't, we want exclusive rights to air the games. In the beginning, really all they wanted was permission to replay the games later that night on BYU TV.
Yes.
That's all they wanted.
Or at least a couple of days later.
Right. That's all they wanted.
Yeah.
And that was a real bone of contention back in the Mountain days. ESPN seemed to be able to get over it. But so I think it's not that BYU wasn't willing to give up the rights to those games. And I think that if you look at the way that this model has worked, I think regardless of who the Big 12 TV partner would be in this scenario, I think BYU could work something out. Because at the end of the day, the fans will be able to see the games because they'll either be on that channel's network or you work out a deal like they do now, where if it's not, then just then let us broadcast it. If you choose not to, then we'll do it. That's not hard.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, quite frankly, and I'll say this probably till everything goes down, either BYU is in or they're not. They really don't have to. All this stuff about the network stuff, this is all things that could be. Either those institutions are okay with BYU as a religious school and all that comes with that, or they're not. And either they see the financial value of BYU, or they don't. And to say they're going to make a rational decision is they're not likely to make a rational decision. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Rutgers is part of the Big Ten. And we heard it from Delaney and everybody else, because they'll bring the New York market. No, they don't. Like, nobody in New York City watches Rutgers football. Like,
nope.
You know, and it's the same thing when I hear Colorado State brings the Denver market. No, they don't.
No, it does not.
No, it does not. That's not how this works. Like, this isn't professional teams, right? College teams are just, it's the way your fanship develops is so different than, you know, well, it's the Boston Red Sox, so people in Boston watch them. Well, number one, they're not located in those big cities. And number two, that's just not how it works, right? I didn't go to Colorado State. I went to Colorado, or I went to Nebraska. The freak do I care
or
about?
I live, or I just happened to take a job in Denver
yes.
after I graduated from Tulsa.
Yes, yes.
Or
I
Florida.
Don't care. You know, so this is unfortunately not the last airtime we will spend. But until there's more actual news, we did, you know, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit more today. We won't do a whole lot more until there's actual news.
We'll just say one more thing on TV markets.
Oh, please,
there are some college football programs that can deliver a TV market.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just want
none of them are available.
We all understand
for expansion.
That's right. They're all already in conference.
They're all
where they're settled in.
Ohio State delivers an entire state. Michigan delivers half a state, and Michigan State delivers the other half. You know what I mean?
USC and UCLA can deliver you parts of the LA market.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll deliver that, and much more so than Rutgers would deliver New York City to you.
Yes, yes. And BYU, of the remaining people, nobody else could swing a deal to get $1 million from ESPN for their games.
No, of the people on this list?
No, no, not a single one. So again, we're the best option financially and competitively that exists. But the decisions aren't always made on those grounds. Or if they are, they use some faulty logic to get to land on somebody else. You know, Colorado would deliver the Denver market to the Pac-12. How's that working out?
Yeah. If this were a purely rational market-based decision,
BYU would already be in one.
This would have already been
so
made.
Boise,
they would have looked at it and said, "Oh, we got left out of the playoff because our championship game. We need to go fix that."
I mean, if it's based purely on football, okay. It's BYU and Boise, and it's not particularly close. You know, maybe Cincinnati's got a decent argument. If it's done on financials, it's BYU, and then, I don't know, pick one, quite honestly. I don't know that they're that separated. If it's done on other things, who the heck knows, right? There's just no way to know what they're going to say. So, Matt, we have promised to draft all-time BYU basketball teams.
Here we go.
And we are about to draft. So let me explain how this works.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I've been working on this. I think it'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we will draft, okay? Any BYU player is eligible, BYU men's basketball player, anytime. They have to have played at least two seasons, which is, I like to call, the Sean Bradley rule. So they have to have played at least two seasons for BYU. We will select them. At the end, we're going to compare our teams. So we're kind of drafting a full team, right? Not just number 1 through 10 on the best list. We want to be able to play a game at the end of this, an imaginary game. All right?
Are we going to actually play the imaginary game?
Yes. Yes, we are. So, Matt, we have a little spreadsheet that we're both looking at right now. Because I'm magnanimous, because I'm fooled filled with magnanimity. Magnanimity? Magnanimity. Anyway, whatever. I will give you the first pick, but that means, because we're doing this snake style, that means you, I get the second and third pick. You'll come back with the third and fourth pick. So, Matt, with the first pick. Oh, no. This, I can't start yet. Hold on.
Oh, jeez.
All right, I got my Dr. Pepper, and Matt just typed loser in the spreadsheet. It's a Google Sheet, so
he I'm gonna be writing things to you in the Google Sheet the entire time, much like I do on our agenda.
Yes,
while
I know.
We record.
I always leave those out. Oddly enough,
I appreciate that
mainly because they're not fit for our audience. Okay,
a lot of them are.
A lot of them are. That's true. A lot of them are.
A lot of them. A lot of them would pass the test. Okay, pass muster.
I am deleting your loser comment, and we will move on to the actual draft. So, Matt. With the first pick in the draft, the BYU all-time men's basketball draft, how are you going to mess this up?
I'm not going to mess this up.
Oh,
I'm going to take the only choice that makes sense here.
Okay, that is?
I'm drafting Danny Ainge.
Yes, I was really hoping you'd draft someone else.
You got to take Ainge here. You have to take Ainge.
Yes, you have
because the other thing, I'm building a team here, right?
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
and Ainge can play point guard for you. He can play small forward for you. I mean, Ainge is very versatile.
Yes.
All right. Well played. I, with the second pick in the draft, this was really hard for me. I am going to pick Jimmer. But luckily, I also have the third pick, so it's not that hard.
And I didn't think Jimmer would be available by the time he came back around. I
mean, no, he would not. This one was very hard. I have decided it was two players. No, before we go to Jimmer, I'm planning the offense will run through Jimmer. That's obviously what I'm doing with my team.
Right.
Clearly.
Right.
Though I think he would have to take less of an offensive load than, say, he did on that 2010-2011 team. Because he'll have, you know, some very good talent around him. With the second pick, I'm going to do a big man and go with Krešimir Kosić with the third pick in the draft. It was a tough choice for me, but that's who I ended up with.
Mm. That puts me in a tough spot.
Yes, I know it does. I know it's. I have put you in a bit of a bind here, Matt. But you get two picks in a row: pick four and pick five of our imaginary draft. Of course, you picked Danny Ainge with the first pick. What is your pick number four in the draft?
I'm in a really tough spot here. All right, I'm going to go with. I should have I've got to rethink the way I'm building my whole team. I really thought that I'd get Krešimir.
You thought I was going to next pick. I know you did.
I did. So now I've got to, because now what I've got to think through here is what I do next. I guess you've got your big man there, right? So I've got to worry about filling my other slots. But if I leave some of these other guys that could fill that role on the board, you might take them too later.
That is correct. That's what makes this fun.
This is tricky. So, yeah, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I'm going to go ahead and take Tyler Haws.
Really? Wow. I was not anticipating that. So you got Danny Ainge and Tyler Haws as your first two pick. How about your third pick, the fifth overall?
With the fifth overall pick...
Silence is great.
I'm going to take Devin Durant.
Dang it! I thought he was going to slip to me. I didn't think you would take three perimeter players in a row. But you did.
What am I supposed to do?
You can't let Durant go by.
Nope.
You can't let Durant go by.
I mean, I could have taken Durant with the pick. It doesn't matter where I take those two in.
Yes. No, because
those were probably the two guys. I mean, could I have taken Durant and maybe somebody else? Yeah, but you would have. I don't think Haws comes back.
I'll tell you what. It's scary that your lineup will have Ainge, Haws, and Durant sitting at the three-point line, which, of course, Ainge and Durant did not play with the three-point line. the three of them will be sitting out there. Now, I know Haas wasn't a great three-point shooter necessarily, didn't take a ton, but that's a pretty scary perimeter. I like it. I like it. All right, Matt, with my next pick, the sixth overall pick, and my third pick, I am going to go with Michael Smith. So I now have two very versatile big men. But I, at this point, am a little worried about my outside play. This is tough at this point. I am going to pick with the seventh overall pick, I'm going to pick Dick Nemelka.
Didn't he coach your little league team?
He did. He did. So there may be a little emotion in this one, but number one, I think he absolutely belongs in the discussion. And number two, I did need some outside play for sure.
Yep.
All right. All right, Matt, you've got two picks coming your way, number 8 and number 9.
I'm going to go with, and the order here isn't terribly important, but I'm going to take Kyle Collinsworth.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm going to select.
I thought he was going to come to me.
No. Well, I need what he does, right?
Yeah, at this point.
And then I think I've got to take here. I'm going to take Rafael Araujo.
Nice pick. I like it. All right. So you now have all five of your guys.
Yep.
And now with the 10th and final pick of this draft. Oh man.
Who are you going to take here?
Let me tell you who I'm thinking. Okay. There's three players I'm thinking about. All right.
Okay.
Two are big men. Fred Roberts, who was an really good passer. He averaged almost 3 assists in his career at BYU. Mikkelly Wesley is another big guy, very different big guy than Fred Roberts, but I think would add some toughness and defense in the middle. Roberts was also a good defender. My other thought is, because I am so versatile already, I would love a lockdown guy, and this is going to sound crazy, but Jackson Emery.
Yeah, see, I thought about Jackson Emery in there, right? But if I've tried to list who are the top 10 players, right, off of here, I don't know that he gets in there. But see, if I'm putting together a team,
different days, I would feel differently. I think Jackson Emery may be the most underrated modern BYU player. He was the second best player, or third best, depending on how you view it, on two of the best teams BYU's ever had. The 09-10 team and the 10-11 team. He was either the second or third best player both those years behind Jimmer. So I think he's worthy to be in the top 10 conversation. I really do. But that being said, I am not going to select him, and I'm going to go with Fred Roberts. So
it's probably a wise choice.
Oh, I just put him, Fred Roberts, on your team. He's not on your team. I'm sorry. He's not. So, Matt, your starting lineup is, go through how you're arranging it.
Well, I think I'm running the offense through Danny Ainge.
Yep, good idea.
Right, and so then yes. I've got Collinsworth at the other guard spot. Right?
Yes. That's
and
what
then,
you would have.
Then I'm playing Araujo. I feel like I got to say his name with an accent that I can't do.
Yes. And you are spectacularly.
It's awful. I'm just butchering it, right? And he could take me in a fight pretty easily. He was a nasty man.
He'd drop you in about 2 seconds.
I'm going to play him down low. And then I got you know, who do I have left at that point? I got Haas and Durant. But see, I can shoot any of those three. Ainge, Haas, or Durant can hit you from the outside. And on rebounds, I feel pretty confident in this team's ability to pick up rebounds on both sides.
Oh, yeah. You've got some. Ainge was a really good rebounding guard. Obviously, Collinsworth is the best rebounding. You can make an argument he's the best rebounder that BYU's ever had. I mean, the total average wasn't as high, but we're talking about a guy that ran the point for two, two seasons, right? Yeah. You know, so obviously that's very different. Yeah, you've got that, and Ainge and Collinsworth can both play with their back, and Durant could all three play with their back to the basket offensively. Yep. Now, you're going to struggle against really big teams because, you know, Collinsworth is going to have to end up guarding big guys.
Yeah, but see, but if you look at the list, I mean, especially the way things were drafted, I mean, there's not a lot of great choices there.
No. And the thing is, we're not a big guy school, right? Mikkeli Wesley could have been on your squad instead of Collinsworth. You know, you had a chance to take Fred Roberts or, you know, or as I said, Mikkeli Wesley. We left Bradley off. We'll get to that in a second. You could have also picked Russ Larson. Could be in that discussion as well. Brandon Davies, though I don't think
I thought
he's
about
as
Brandon
good.
Davies.
I don't
but
think
I decided
he's as good
I wanted
as this
Rafael instead.
Yeah, I think Rafael Arujo, I mean, his numbers were better. Now, granted, he was more the man on his team than Brandon Davies got the chance to be because Jimmer was there, but I think Arujo was just a better player than Davies. Now, on my side, Matt, I've got, of course, running the show is Jimmer, so the offense would run through Jimmer. Joining him on the perimeter would be, I don't know, it's basically Jimmer and a bunch of big guys.
Yeah.
So I have the opposite problem. But here's the thing. Kosic, though tall, was a guy ahead of his time. He was a Dirk Nowitzki type of big guy, right? Could shoot outside, excellent passer, could play with his back to the basket. Michael Smith was also very much like that. And an excellent outside shooter. My problem, quite frankly, is going to be I don't have a single guy besides Nemelka who could guard a perimeter player. I mean, Jimmer was not an elite defender. Let's just say that Nemelka's going to be on Ainge, and then Durant's going to score if our two teams played each other. Durant's going to score 40 points.
Well, yeah, because I've got a couple guys that can penetrate and then kick the ball out to someone who will be open.
Yes, but I feel confident. Like, I feel like... I feel like Roberts could guard Collinsworth, not totally dissimilar to how Sabonis did. You know, Roberts is a good enough defender that I think he could deal with Collinsworth dribble drive, and certainly the post-op game against Roberts isn't going to work. My biggest issue would be playing against your team is I don't know who covers Durant or Haws. Maybe right. Kosic covers Haws. But I don't think Kosic was fast enough to cover Durant.
Yeah, that's a mismatch.
Yeah, you know, Kosic got the length. But the flip side to that is true. I don't know who you've got that could guard Kosic. Because you're going to... Arujo is not, I don't think, athletic enough.
No, it's not the right match.
To do that. And then I've got Michael Smith, who's similar to Kosic, who's going to guard him. You could get some pesky guy. I mean, you could have Ainge guard like Smith. I actually think he'd be really good at it, and he would tick Michael Smith off, I think.
Yeah, but I can't cover both of them.
No, you would have to. One of those guys is going to get free reign. That's either Kosic or Smith is my guy that's going to score a ton of points, and of course Jimmer will just jack up crazy three pointers. So Matt, this was fun. Anybody else? Did my voice just crack?
Maybe just a little bit. You know,
podcast
special time.
Anybody else that we didn't discuss that you considered?
Anybody that we didn't already discuss?
Yeah, I don't have anybody that we didn't already discuss.
No, I mean, we talked about Davies and
Jackson Emery.
Yeah, I think we've really run the gamut. You know, there's a couple of guys on here that I'd like to consider, but just didn't quite make the cut. You know,
yeah,
but,
yeah. I would not, like, if I swapped out Fred Roberts for Jackson Emery, I'd still feel really good about my team.
Yeah,
it would just be a different team. Then I could really lock you up on the perimeter a little bit better.
What about somebody like a Jeff Chapman?
Chapman was an excellent player. I just don't think he belongs in this top 10 that we're talking about.
Yeah, maybe
I mean,
not.
Of the guys that played their back to the basket, I mean, he was a really good rebounder, good scorer. Was he better than Arujo? I don't think so. But I could see that argument if you wanted to make it. They played in very different eras. So, you know, stats aren't necessarily maybe the best way to compare it. I mean, I watched both players and I guess I'd pick Arujo, but it'd be close. Maybe I should rephrase it. Chapman belongs in the conversation. Sure.
Well, and he played more seasons, right?
Yes, yes. So if you're going on, you know, volume instead of peak, maybe Chapman gets that over Arujo.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored almost twice as many points in his career as Arujo. But interestingly enough, Arujo had more rebounds and only played two seasons. So,
and that's really, when I was going through the draft, that's really what pulled me to Arujo. I needed the rebounds.
The of all the guys we've talked about, per game, Arujo and Kosic are by far the best big men rebounders that BYU's ever had. Yep. By the numbers. And Collinsworth is by far the best rebounding guard that BYU's ever produced by the numbers. And that one with Collinsworth, that's not really even in dispute. But Kosic averaged 12 rebounds a game. I know, different era, different time. I get it. I'm not an idiot. But that's still pretty impressive.
Yep.
So, Matt, we have one. We'll head out on this tweet bag question that comes from, of course, one of our regular tweet baggers, Justin Whiting. That's at JN Whiting on Twitter. He says, not top 10, but where is Sean Bradley? Only 1 year played, but still a great year, and it was. Still mad he didn't come back. Hashtag tweetback. I put this in purposely so we wouldn't have to deal with him. Was that a cop-out on my part?
A little bit. but he asks, where is Sean Bradley? I think he's living somewhere in Utah County, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw something during General Conference. I think there was something that weekend.
Now?
I saw, no, there was like a little story, the Living Legends TV show or whatever that
is. Yeah. I just can't put somebody on one of these teams that played 1 year. And I've heard, when I've said that before, people would say, so you'd leave Carmelo Anthony off the all-time Syracuse list? And my answer is yes.
Yeah, I'm a little less stringent on that. A season's a season, right? So if a guy was there for 4 years but didn't play the first two or three, and then but because he wasn't, you know, he wasn't making the cut or wasn't getting a lot of time, but then his senior year he breaks through, like, what's different about that? The guy has one meaningful season.
But none of those, there's not a single person that we selected that had one meaningful season. Every single one of these 10 guys had at least two. Most of them three, and some of them four.
Okay, so I might choose not to pick a Sean Bradley because of that, right? Just, we talked about the volume difference between a couple of these other guys, right? You might take a Chapman because he was consistent over time.
Yes.
So you might not pick Sean Bradley for that reason, right? Because you only got the one season, and with anybody that tall, you got knee issues or whatever. So you might not go with him if you're forming a team for that reason. But I don't think you just outright discount a guy because he only played one meaningful season. I think you and our tweet bagger are just mad that he only played the one.
I am. I'm still ticked off. I'm still ticked off. That team was built for him to come back. Now, I'm not really ticked off. He got a chance. What was it? $76 million.
Yeah,
he signed his contract for.
Everything was 76, right? He went to the 76ers. He was 7'6".
Yeah,
the Baskin Robbins in his neighborhood had 76 flavors. I mean, everything was 76.
And he got to be in Space Jam.
Who doesn't want to be in Space Jam?
He was was he the first overall pick? Right?
Did he go one?
Yeah, no, second overall pick. I'm sorry. From the 1993 draft, he was behind Chris Webber. Which, by the way,
crazy?
I watched this awesome 30 for 30 on ESPN about the Orlando Magic and how basically, you know, the beginning of the end was when Orlando, they win the lottery again, and they pick Webber, and basically Shaq doesn't want to play with them, so they go around.
Trade him for Penny?
They trade him for Penny. It was so fascinating. And I agree. Actually, putting Webber and Shaq on the same team makes zero sense. But look at that 93 list. So look at the people that were not ever All-Stars, okay? Bradley at 2, Isaiah Ryder at 5, Calbert Chaney at 6, Bobby Hurley at 7, Rodney Rogers at 9, and Lindsey Hunter at 10.
Wow.
These drafts are you know, and then you go back and the people that got missed later on, there aren't that many of them either. Like Alan Houston was 11, Sam Castle was at 24, Nick Van Exel was in the second round. But it's not like you got a bunch of people afterwards that you're like, wow, they shouldn't have drafted Bobby Hurley, right? There wasn't, Sam Castle, could you have made an actual argument for him at the time over Bobby Hurley? Not really. No. Anyway, I am still a little, but if you had told me I'm doing Bradley, I don't care about your stupid rule, I would have rolled with it.
I almost did take Bradley because I didn't care about your stupid rule because I just needed a big man.
Yeah, and I would have rolled with it. Well, Matt, this has been kind of a fun podcast. Obviously, the conference expansion, Big 12 expansion talk, this draft. Next week, we're going to do something cool as well, a little different. We're going to do an all-time. This was Justin Sweeney's idea.
Sweeney.
We're going to draft. Wow, that was a little longer than usual.
Well, it's because it was only appearance in the podcast. Like I had true.
You had to play it up a little bit. We're going to draft our all-time Bronco teams.
And to be clear, that's not the Denver Broncos. That's players who played under Coach Bronco Mendenhall.
That's right. That's right. It will be kind of looking back at that Bronco era and who the best players and or units were during that time. It is not going to be like a 2-hour. We're not going to go like each have like 30-man rosters or anything. But we'll have some fun with it next week. Obviously, if anything happens with the conference expansion we're talking about, we will. But my guess is if we spend any time on it next week, it will be quite little.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen this week.
Yeah. I don't think anything.
Spoiler alert, everybody. Big 12's not going to pick BYU up this week.
Yes, probably not going to happen. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. We hope you enjoy this. Tweet us back at BYU_RiseShout. Tell us how we did this week and if you enjoyed what we talked about. You can also join the conversation on Facebook. That's facebook.com/RiseAndShout. We appreciate any referrals you give to your friends or neighbors or maybe alumni, fellow alumni about the podcast. We'd love you to tell them all about us and if you enjoyed the show. Thanks again for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.